Have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. We just saw the DVD of the Gormleys' work with the Filipino church in Taiwan, and of course they also have a work with the Chinese people there, representing those two churches that have been established in Taiwan. They also have a son that has grown and gone off to college and come back to Taiwan as a missionary also. And so there's additional fruit being in another ministry because of him. We support the Gormleys in the Philippines, the Mislins, and also the Coltranes. And between these three missionaries, it represents between 18 and 20 churches that have been established in the Philippines. Churches, ministries, and schools. The Gormleys' main church has over 240 students in day school, in Christian school, that Sister Gormley is the school principal. And they also are able to get into the public school system there and teach what is called value education, which teaches morals, and they are not limited. They can give the gospel and invite people to be saved. They also have the same open door with the police department to teach character and morals and ethics and that sort of thing by teaching Christianity to them. They call that values education. They also have a college and a seminary, and these three missionaries in the Philippines. We support the Kinmans in Guatemala, and they have established three churches and have a manna feeding center that feeds people as they come to church. Connor Ups in Kenya, Africa, with a dozen churches and a college. And the Owens in Sierra Leone with four churches and a college. The colleges train the nationals so that they can turn the churches over to them and reproduce themselves over and over and over again. Ken and David Lyles are a father and son team. David is a missionary in Peru. He married a girl who her father is a missionary, and they moved there and helping him with the multiple works that he'd already started in the Bible college. As these young men graduate from the college and go off into Peru to start churches, David and his wife have helped now in the establishing of several churches. Brother Ken Lyles and his wife work with the restricted access nations and are reaching Persian people that are displaced throughout Germany and Europe because he was a missionary in Iran. He speaks the Farsi language, reads and writes it, and can disciple and all that sort of thing. The Mathis in Scotland have helped or established 10 churches throughout their ministry. The Van Sants in the Ukraine have four mission churches in addition to the church at Simferopol that has both a hearing church and a deaf church. You just sent $2,200 to the church to put shoes on the deaf and the orphans and the children of the hearing as well. Sladenhoffens in South Africa have established two churches on this term that they're in, and they've established a manna feeding center. This represents about a dozen of the missionaries that you support, which is over 40, and we contribute support to. In addition to that are children's homes, Bible college, training hundreds for ministry, the Gideon's Placing and Sending Bibles, a rescue mission that has treatment for alcoholic and drug abuse, and a crisis pregnancy center for women in crisis pregnancies. Now, several ministries of the church have established a plan to have nationals take over their work in the near future. We have four or five that are in that stage right now. They have a small church going, and they hope to be able to turn that over at some point when they get to the next level. We have some in language school that are learning the language and training to be established, and still a couple on deputation that we contribute support to who are trying to get to their field for their very first term, to go to the people they're burdened for. Hebrews chapter 12 in your Bibles and verse 1 and 2. Scripture says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. May we pray. Father, as we look into Your Word for these next few moments, I pray that You'll guide what I say. Help me to help Your people. We ask You to feed us through the Word of God. We pray for the lost to be saved, both here and abroad, Lord, through our desire to send missionaries to the unsaved world. Help us to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning in chapter 12, verse number 1, you see that connecting word, wherefore. You'll be reminded when you see the words wherefore and therefore to stop and see what they're there for. It is a connector that connects us back to chapter number 11. Most of you are very familiar with chapter 11. It's often referred to as the Hall of Faith. And it gives us this list of the witnesses to us of those who have done great and mighty works for God as an example and a testimony to us so that we will run the race with endurance, with patience. Chapter 11 and verse number 4 begins by telling us that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. All of these in chapter 11 are doers of the word and not hearers only. They are accomplishing something. They are remembered for their work of faith. They're remembered for what they did through God's help and by His grace. By faith, Enoch walked with God and was translated because he had the testimony that he pleased God. And I think that ought to be our desire tonight, that we have a desire to please the Lord, to do what's acceptable in His sight, to do what pleases our Savior. If we love Him, we ought to have that desire to do what is acceptable unto Him. Verse 7 tells us, by faith Noah prepared an ark, moved with fear because of the knowledge of the flood and impending judgment that was coming upon the world. Noah built the ark to the saving of his household. And we are building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today for the same purpose, to the saving of our households and for the saving of the lost as we send the gospel throughout the world. Verse 8 tells us that Abraham and Sarah, by faith, obeyed the Lord. They went out searching for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker is God. They obeyed the Lord and they left their home without a map and without a compass and without the knowledge of everything that was going to transpire. They went out searching to obey the Lord. And throughout living in the world where he went, he maintained a testimony that he was a stranger and a pilgrim that was passing through. He did not settle in with a tribal group there. He dwelt in tents with his son and with his grandson in the same manner they did as Abraham had done and taught them. Verse 17 tells us, by faith he offered Isaac. The Bible was written hundreds of years before the Quran, and the Bible is the Word of God, not the Word of man. The Bible says Abraham offered Isaac. The Islamic people are taught that that's a lie. They're taught he offered Ishmael because they're not going to give any credence to Israel in any way or the Jewish people. But the Bible is the Word of God, and if we believe that, then something else telling us a separate story is not the truth. It is a lie or a fabrication. God tested Abraham to show him that he could be faithful and obey and do everything that God asked of him to do. And he was willing to offer his son with the confidence that God would raise him from the dead because God had promised a seed of nations through that son. And so he raised the knife to slay his son, and you know the story. God stopped his hand and gave him the ram caught in the thicket. God provided himself a sacrifice instead of Isaac. God tested Abraham, and Abraham was found obedient unto God. You and I have a responsibility to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and we have the promise if we do that, that God will supply all of our needs if we do that. Abraham put God first, and you and I need to put God first in our life. By faith, we have established a church here. We started a mission program in the very first service of the church. And by faith, we've built on four times in buildings here and increased the size of the ministry. And by faith, several of our folks have said, Lord, if you'll supply for me the funds, and I will give and support missionaries around the world. And you have done that and established the missions program that we now have. All of these pictures over here are places where we have missionaries and some multiple missionaries reaching people, establishing churches, and spreading the gospel around the world. Verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith Moses chose to be identified with God's people. Even though God's people were under persecution, Moses had it made. You ever heard people make that expression? Man, you got it made. Moses had it made. He was living in the king's palace, the adopted son of the Pharaoh, access to anything he needed and everything he wanted, and yet he chose to step down from that and be identified as a Jewish person, which is what he was, and be identified with the people of God who were under persecution, and this cost him greatly, but God used him in a great and mighty way. You and I are identified with the people of God when we associate with the church, when we follow the Lord in believers' baptism. These are marks of identification that we make known that we've identified with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. And it speaks to the world of our faith in Jesus Christ. The separated life identifies us as a Christian, those that believe the Bible, and those who seek to live according to God's Word. So with all these examples that are given to us in Hebrews chapter 11, and I've just touched on some of those, you and I need to run the race that is set before us, keeping an example, these who have finished the course, these who kept the faith, these who were faithful unto death, these who did something for God, accomplishing something for Him. So let us run the race. First of all, this race is a long-distance race. We often refer to it as the marathon race of the Christian life. And you know the story of the word marathon and the 26-mile race and the endurance that it takes to run those kind of races. And we are to run that race as a long-distance race. We enter the Christian life. It's not something we do just to be doing something new. It's not something we do just for a little while. We become a Christian, that's for between us and the Lord from now until Jesus takes us home to heaven to be with Him forevermore. And we're to endure in the race. It's not something that is just a little sprint. It has a purpose that we've given ourselves to be continual in the race. Secondly, to run the race, there are things we have to lay aside. The Bible tells us we have to lay aside weights and the sin that besets us. Weights are things that weigh us down. They hinder us. When you see runners, you don't see them running with boots and a pack on their back and a coat and all of those things. They strip down to where they have very little attire on. Sometimes they strip down a little too much, you know, to be running up and down the highway. But they're running so that they can run with a light weight upon them, nothing that would hinder them. And we have to lay aside some things that would hinder us. There are a lot of good things in life that are not sin in themselves, but they hinder us in the Christian race that we are to run. Things that keep us out of church, things that keep our finances tied up and our desires tied up and our time tied up can be a weight. It can be a hobby, it can be sports, it can be vacationing, it can be just enjoying resting a little too much. Many of you, like I, went and kicked back in a chair this afternoon, tried to catch a little nap and rest up a little bit. I was unsuccessful, I think. I might have closed my eyes for a couple of minutes, but I'm not above taking a nap. I'd sure like to take one from time to time. But there's a time when you can't rest. There's a time when you've got to get the work done. There's a time when you got to keep going. Most of you will have to get up tomorrow morning and head off to work. And boy, you'd like to hit that snooze alarm one more time. You'd like to sleep in. You'd enjoy having that extra hour of rest like you had this morning after setting the clocks back 1 hour. But you got to get up and go to work. It's time to do that. And you can't let those things hinder you because you want to rest. And we can't let the weights of this world hinder us in our service for the Lord. Certainly we all know that we cannot let sin hinder us, and sin besets us. Sin sets us back. Sin hinders us in our race with the Lord. Thirdly, it is a race of endurance. We've been running the race here in Fort Mill now for 32 years. This church has been established for that long. Through those years, we've seen some quit. We've seen some get sidetracked. We've seen some give up. You know, if a person has stumbled, there's an opportunity to get back in the race. It's time to get a new start. It's time to begin again. You can fall, you can be injured, but you can heal and you can get a fresh start with the Lord. God is always like the prodigal's father, calling and waiting for you to come home and find forgiveness and restoration and a new beginning with the Lord. Renew our determination. It takes that for all of us. That's what revivals are all about. Revivals are a reviving of our spirit of fire to serve the Lord. And as we renew ourselves in our interest of devotion unto God, we all need that from time to time. We all get a little apathetic, or we get lethargic, or we just get so busy and sidetracked, we get away from reading the Word every day as we should, or spending time in prayer, and we get a little caught up in something, and we need a revival in our heart. We need a renewal of a fresh start in the race for the Lord. Renewing our determination, keeping ourselves motivated, staying on project, staying on target for what we need to do. And then, fourthly, we need to keep our eyes on the goal. And the goal is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who's run the race for us, and He's the one who's set down the course. And as we run the race, we must keep our eyes on Him. Like we learned with Peter, we cannot look at the circumstance of life around us. When Peter walked on the water, he was doing fine until he began to look at the winds and the waves of the sea. And then fear set in and he began to sink. You and I are running the race keeping our eyes on Jesus, and we cannot let ourselves get focused on the circumstance around us. There are things that would discourage us, things that would hinder us, things that would make us fearful, things that would cause us to be discouraged in our walk with God. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus and not on circumstance. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus and not on people. We only keep our eye on people following Him if they're following the Lord, because people sometimes go astray. I love to tell that story. You've heard me tell it several times about the foggy morning when I was following the police officer and he ran in the ditch because he was following the lady in front of him, and she ran in the ditch, so he ran in the ditch. And fortunately, I saw his car go a little awkward and I slowed down. I didn't follow him in the ditch. But you see, you can't keep your eyes on people, because people will fail you. People will hurt you. People will harm you. People will lead you astray. Even the people with the best of intentions will let folks down sometimes. And so we must be people who do our best to keep our eyes on the Lord and lead so others can follow. But most of all, we teach people, don't follow me, follow Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He's the one who will never fail you and never lead you astray, that we might finish the course, finish the race. How do we finish the race? Staying faithful till Jesus calls us home. There's coming a day when He's going to call us home, and the rewards are going to be issued out. Rewards for faithfulness. Rewards for those who've been faithful unto the Lord. You look in the book of Revelation at the seven churches of Asia Minor. You don't find one mention about the size of their offering, the size of their mission giving, or the attendance of their numbers. What you find is praise for their faithfulness, praise when they faced obstacles and circumstance, and were righteous when they faced temptations and attacks. These were the things that God praised them for. And those are things that every one of us here can be found faithful for the Lord in. We may never be the biggest church in town. We may never send the largest mission offering of any church we know of in the area. We may never hit the biggest attendance or anything like that, or have the greatest record number of people saved. But we can be found faithful and just keep doing the work that God has called us to do. It is the law of large numbers where the accumulation takes place. You see, if a church only has 15, 20, 30 people a year get saved and follow the Lord in baptism, imagine that, how many that is in 100 years. If this church is faithful and continues until Jesus comes, it'll be the accumulative total of everything this church has accomplished, not just what happens today, and not just what happens this year, and not just what happens in the next year or two, but what happens in the accumulative total of everything that we do for God. According to my figures, we're coming up pretty close within the next few years to be able to have accumulatively given $1 million to missions. And that's a great thing. There are some big churches that give that much in a couple of years. Not many, but there are some. We can't do that in a year. Unless one of you wins the lottery or something, you know. Probably not going to do that in a year. But the accumulative total of what this church does may match what some of the big churches do because of faithfulness, continuing to be faithful year after year after year. Same with souls being saved. Same with churches being established. The same with you and I have the opportunity to do what God treasures most, and that's be found faithful unto Him. Let's stand together, please.